Thank you for joining us for the Temple Baptist Church podcast today. This message was originally recorded on August 6, 2006. Today, filling in for our pastor is Dr. Jim Hewitt, who is preaching on 8 biblical keys to contentment found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13.
Turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 10 through 13, but we're going to be looking at other verses as well, but we're going to use that as a launching pad for us this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Out of respect of the reading of God's Word, would you stand with me, please? Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This morning, 8 biblical keys to contentment. Let's pray. Father, you have called us here by divine appointment. It is not by accident or fluke of luck or fate that we have come here today, but it is truly by your divine appointment. You knew in eternity past that we would be here at this particular moment in history. We come, Father, as a people with many needs, to varying degrees. Father, through your word, teach us this morning about yourself, about us, and about our need for you, and how much you sincerely want to bless us. Thank you, Father, for your presence, because it is your presence that gives us contentment. So, Father, draw us to yourself today as we look to your word for guidance in our life. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. 8 biblical keys to contentment. I've noticed that in my dealings with people on a daily basis in a variety of contexts, that people are experiencing difficulties in their life. And whatever person it is, whatever situation it is, whatever situation it might be, whatever circumstance they find themselves in, I find 3 commonalities in dealing with people. One is that people want happiness. Watch this. Is there anybody in this room this morning that desires to be unhappy? That's your life goal, to be unhappy? No. All of us want to find happiness. Now, we don't know what in the world that is, but we want it. And if we got it, we want more of it. Happiness. The other thing that I find that people want is fulfillment through relationships. People desire to have fulfilling relationships, whether it's with a boyfriend or girlfriend, whether it's spousal, whether it's parent to child, whether it's in-laws, or whoever it might be, co-workers, friends. People desire to have fulfilling relationships. The third thing that I have found in dealing with people on a day-to-day basis is that people desire to be content. There is that longing desire in their heart to find contentment. They find it in a variety of ways. But the fact is that they want contentment. They want it more than anything else in the world. If I can just be content, can you tell me how to do that? I have people many times ask me, is there a pill that you can give me? Is there a contentment pill? Is there a happy pill? Well, I'm not a physician, but if I were, I'd figure out how to make that kind of pill and make a couple $1 million and retire. But there is no such thing. But people want contentment. Now, looking at the opposite side of that for just a moment, discontentment is usually caused by not having something that we want. We walk into a store and we see something and we want it because we don't have it. Some people want a better job. Man, if I could just have a better job, if I could just get a raise, I hate my job, I don't like my employer, I don't like the people I work. If I could just have a better job, then I would be content. If I could have a life that was simpler, more organized, more settled, then I'd be content. If I had a different spouse, I'd be content. If I had more or better behaved children, I'd be content. If I had better behaved grandchildren, I'd be content. If I had a nicer house, you know, this house, it's just kind of outdated, and I really don't, you know, it was nice for the time, but you know, I just want something nicer. If I had better furniture, I don't want a 19-inch, I want a 152-inch. Plasma TV, surround sound, then I would be content. If I had a better car, if I had a new car, not this old clunker that I've got, but if I had a new car, I'd be content. Or in my case, another motorcycle. I talked to a guy the other day who has 9 motorcycles in his garage. I was drooling. I mean, I was at Unique Power Sports yesterday, riding my motorcycle. I just dropped by there. And I walked in, and there's these beautiful, shiny motorcycles. I want one. Well, you've got one. I want another one. you all pray for Viola. I'm trying to convince her that, see, I want to do this husband-wife bonding thing. And she doesn't want to get on a two-wheel cycle. She doesn't. So they have these nice cycles called tricycles, commonly known as trikes, three-wheeled motorcycles, balance, bonding with my lady. So you all pray for her as, you know, God would just divinely intervene in her life and because we're convinced, trying to convince her to have a trike so we can bond together. If I had another motorcycle, if I had another car, I'd be more content. But the fact is, how much is enough? How much is enough? 1, 2, better this, better that. Well, Paul helps us to address that issue of discontentment and more so, how we can find contentment. So I'd encourage you this morning just to jot some things down that we're going to talk about, because if you're not dealing with this situation, you know someone who's dealing with this situation, and you may encounter them this next week, and you'll be able to share with them God's design for contentment. Key number one. Contentment is derived from an intimate relationship with Christ. See how we're talking about relationship already? Contentment is derived from an intimate relationship with God. Look at chapter 3. Let's go back there, verses 8 and 9. Look what Paul says. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes through Christ, through God, is by faith. I want to know him. Contentment comes through a relationship that is derived through an intimate relationship with Christ. Notice the person of this relationship. It is Christ. It is to him that we are focused in our relationship. For you see, if our relationship with Christ isn't what it ought to be, then our relationship with one another will not be what it ought to be. That's just a fact. I want to know him, he said. I want to know him intimately and personally. I want to know him, you know, if you look back in previous verses, particularly in verse 4 and following, he talks about, he gives his pedigree. He was circumcised. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was regarding the law blameless. All of these things. But he said, all of that I count as rubbish that I may know him. The value of this relationship is what carried Paul through. Now remember that when he was penning these words, he was in prison, talking about contentment in prison. There's two shows that I love to watch on Saturdays. One is Cops, the other is Lock Up. 2 hours. Oh, it's great. And I can tell you, I watched Lock Up last night, and they were, you know, talking about they were in Folsom Prison in California. And I can tell you that the prisoners that they interviewed were not happy to be there. They were not content in being there. They were all innocent, you see. Paul wrote these words about contentment being in prison. Why was he in prison? For sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to know him. I value this relationship, and I want to know, not only know him intimately and personally, but I want to know, by knowing him, I will know his power. That same power that raised him from the dead, I want to know that. Contentment is derived from an intimate relationship with Christ. Key number two. Contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of our past. Look at chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Well, let's back up to 12. Not that I've already attained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Now watch this. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting that which is behind and straining toward that which is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of our past. Now, if anybody had a past to overcome, it was the Apostle Paul. Remember, he was the guy also known as Saul. He says prior to this that he was a Pharisee concerning the law. He was blameless. He was persecuting the Christians. In fact, it took him many years for the believers to actually trust him. Many times he was run out of town. Contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of our past. I encounter people every single day who walk into my office who are absolutely paralyzed because of their past. You see, to fixate on the present or fixate on the past is to miss our calling and God's purpose for our life right now. I've gotten really brave with my motorcycle. I am now a highway motorcycle person. I ride my motorcycle on the highway. It is a thrilling experience to ride my motorcycle on the highway, particularly when an 18-wheeler comes up beside you. It's a thrilling experience. If I were to continue to look in my rearview mirrors on both sides as what's coming up behind me, what do you think is going to happen? I probably would not be standing here right now. And Viola would be a whole lot richer. If I continue to look back, I'm going to miss that which is in front of me. You hear what he's saying? There are people, maybe some of you sitting here, who are so fixated by the past that you're missing God's purpose for you right now. And that causes you to be discontented. To fixate on our past is to minimize God's grace that moves us to redeeming our past. Is there anything that you can do about your past now? Can you go back and undo the mistakes that you made? Can you go back and regain the missed opportunities? Well, no. to fixate on that is to miss God's purpose and desire for us to redeem our past. You know, we talk about healing all the time, you know, healing of broken legs and diseases and those kind of things. But I want to tell you something. It is a wonderful experience to witness someone who is healing their past. Because it is in healing the past that they can come to grips with the God of the present and the God of the future. Key number two then, contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of our past. Key number three. Contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of where our hope lies. Look at chapter 3, verses 17 and 21. Join with others, in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Watch this. For as I have often told you before, and now say it again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. You see, contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of where our hope lies. Our hope both lies in our journey and in our destination. And I think sometimes we are so focused on our destination that we fail to look at what's involved in the journey. Someone had been encouraging me for a long time to ride my motorcycle on Highway 185 south to Potosi and then take number 8 out of Potosi back to Steelville and then Steelville to Cuba, Cuba to home. I did that yesterday. And there was a point at which, you know, this journey is starting to get all these winding roads. and the traffic, how dare the traffic be out there when I'm riding? And I started to get tired. And I started to focus on, you know, the road signs. 16 miles to Potosi. Whew, I can make it 16 more miles. I can make it. And then I missed the turn, which is typical for me. I missed the turn, and I had to turn around. And then I read the sign 30-something miles, 38 miles I think it was, to Steelville. 38 miles. And so I started focusing more on the destination than on the journey itself. Now listen to me. Our destination is important. It has eternal consequences. But so often, I'm afraid, we focus so much on our destination that we miss the journey that we're on. Of how God uses us and how God desires to bless us and how God indeed has blessed us. Our hope lies both in the journey and in the destination, but it also lies in the realization that there is more to this life than this life. Does it really make a difference whether I have one more motorcycle or not? I got to think about that one. Does it matter whether I live in a 1,000 square feet home or a 5,000 square feet home? More to take care of. Whether I live on a plot of land versus acreage, does it really matter? There's the realization that there's more to this life than this life. It's a hope also that lies in the realization that the hurts and the pains and the suffering of this body will be no more. Wow. won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us here this morning got up and there was pains and, you know, a little stiffer than we were yesterday. Can't run as fast as we used to. We don't jump out of bed like we used to. We got this pain right there. All of that will be gone. And that's where our hope lies. Key number three, then, contentment is derived from an accurate assessment of where our hope lies. Key number four. Contentment is derived from a joy that is anchored in Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Now remember, this is a guy who was in prison writing this stuff. At the time that he was writing it, he was in prison. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, I don't know about in your text, but in my text, there's a exclamation point after that second rejoice. Is there in your text? What that means is, rejoice! Again I say, rejoice. In prison? Contentment is derived from a joy that is anchored in Christ. Though the circumstances change, he does not. He does not. As the psalmist would say, he is our rock, our fortress, our hiding place. Though people and relationships may change, he does not. People come and go, don't they? Relationships ebb and flow, don't they? But he is always the same. Though feelings and perceptions may change, he does not. I can tell you that the older I get, I got my hair cut the other day, and I looked down at this little thingy, the gown thing, and the hair, it was falling. And I noticed something about that hair. It's a lot grayer than I thought it was. And a lot less, thank you. Yes. I noticed this morning when I got up after that 3-hour ride yesterday, my bones ached just a little more. These glasses that I have on have these little things down here called bifocals. Perceptions change, but he does not. People change, but he does not. Circumstances change, but he does not. Contentment, then, is derived from a joy that is anchored in Christ. Key number five. Contentment is derived from a healthy interaction with others. Look at verse 5 of chapter 4. Contentment is derived from a healthy relationship or interaction with others. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. This gentleness ought to be there instead of defensiveness. I encounter so many people that, as they're talking about their relationships with each other, they got the fists up and they're really defending themselves. Let your gentleness be known to all. It's a gentleness instead of harshness. One of the things that occurs often on the show Cops is calls to domestic violence. It calls and people are beating each other up. Usually drunk, beating each other up, but they're still beating each other up. It's become a practice of mine now to pick up the Cuba Free Press and the Sullivan Independent, and I look through the police reports, see how many domestic violence calls there have been. People calling each other names, hitting each other, bloodying each other. Because you call me a name, I'm going to call you a name. Harshness. He says, let your gentleness be known to all. Let it be evident. It's gentleness instead of selfishness. I want what I want. Domestic violence, divorce, marital issues can be all boiled down to one thing, selfishness. I want what I want, and I want it now. I don't care what you want. I want it. I want what I want, period. It's my right. I'm entitled. Give it to me. Let your gentleness be known to all. Let it be evident. And it is that gentleness that helps us to have a healthy interaction with other people. It was amazing to me as a result of that storm that came through a few weeks ago, and the Ameren UE guys were out working and they'd called others in trying to get the power back up, and I saw a news thing on that, and not many days after that happened, and there were people who were picketing Ameren UE because they weren't getting their power on now. Well, and now. Isn't that interesting? Picketing the very people that you're asking to put the power back on. Contentment then is derived from a healthy relationship or interaction with others. Key number 6. Contentment is derived from allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Now watch this. Look at verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Contentment is derived by allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Now watch this. Look at verse 6. Be anxious. Do not be anxious for anything. Now, I don't know about you, but I write in my Bible. Watch this. Follow with me now. Look at verse 6. Draw a line back down to verse 21. What does verse 21 say? Who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. Anxiousness has a lot to do with feeling out of control. And there are some people who get anxious about the possibility of getting anxious. There are people who have what's commonly known as panic attacks. They get short of breath and their heart palpitates, they begin to sweat and they feel like they're going to die. Watch this. Do not be anxious about anything. Draw a direct line back to verse 21 because God is in control of everything. Wow. Peace will rule in our heart as we look to the Father, not to the circumstance that we're in. Peace will rule in our heart as we acknowledge that God is continually leading us toward maturity. Maturity is a difficult thing, isn't it? Sometimes we don't like to be mature. We don't want to be mature. It's hard to be mature. It's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to do the adult thing. It's hard to do the mature thing. But it is through the experiences that God uses in our life to bring us to maturity, thereby finding contentment. Peace will rule in our heart as we realize that God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, is the God of today. He is the same. And it seems to me as though if God can do things like part the Red Sea and deliver Israel from bondage and raise his son from the dead, it seems like he's powerful enough to take care of our situations, wouldn't you think? Hello? Yeah. And it is that peace that understands that God, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, is still God today, that brings us a sense of contentment. Key number 7. Contentment is derived from an understanding of the relationship between thoughts and behavior. There is a relationship between thoughts and behavior. Look at verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, here it is, think on these things. There is a relationship between thoughts and behaviors. It is that which causes Paul to write in Romans 12, 1 and 2, this is King James, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, here it is now, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Contentment is derived from an understanding that our thoughts are to be renewed consistently day by day, and it is that that produces godly behavior. It's not a matter of stop thinking about sinful things. It's a matter of placing godly thoughts in our mind. You and I can't take on Satan by ourselves. We will lose every time. That's why God has indwelled us with His Spirit. He has told us, you can't, without me, you can do nothing. Our thoughts are to be focused on the truth of God's word, which will produce godly behavior. Look at verses 19 and 20. Of chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await the Savior from there. Our thoughts are to be focused on the truth of God's words, which produces godly behavior. Watch this. When you face a circumstance, whatever your circumstance is, the question that God asks is, are you going to believe what you see, or are you going to believe what I say? Are you going to believe what you see, or are you going to believe what I say? That's the question. Godly contentment, then, is derived from an understanding that there is a direct relationship between that which we think and that which we do. The Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Key number 8. Contentment is derived from a deep awareness that God is always aware of our circumstances and that his constant presence gives us strength. Look at chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. 12 to 13, I'm sorry. I know that what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Here it is, I have learned the secret of being content. He follows that up by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow. Because of God's faithfulness, the circumstance will not overcome me. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of God's desire for me to grow in Him, my circumstances have a bigger purpose. It's not just about you. It's not just about me. It's about Him and what He desires for us. Because of God's presence with me in my circumstance, my hope is larger than my circumstance. The Bible says that sorrow endureth for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Wow. Now, notice, if you will, in those verses, a key thing that we've not even talked about yet, and that is Paul says, I have learned to be content no matter what my circumstances are. That word learned. Talking about he's learned through experience how to be content. Is contentment something that, you know, God's just going to open us up and pour some contentment in? No. It is learned through experience. And oftentimes it's learned through the tough stuff that life gives us. How much is enough for you? 1, 2, 20? How much? You know, they've been talking on the news here recently. Saw it last night. This thing about, I think it's this weekend. I think it was just the weekend. Tax-free. It's tax-free because of buying school stuff. You can go to Walmart and you buy school, tax-free. Wow. Just school supplies? I've got one TV. No, I got to have two TVs. I got to have a TV for each room because I don't want to miss anything. How much is enough? You see, watch this now. No matter what you are going through, no matter what life has thrown at you, no matter the junk that you've been experiencing, you and the presence of God in your life is enough. That's enough. That's everything. That's eternity. Biblical keys for contentment. Will you be content this week? Will you be content today? As you leave this place and go about your daily Sunday experience, whatever it is that you do, will there be that sense of contentment in you? I wonder. Let's stand for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, and through his life experiences, we can learn contentment. Thank you for your Spirit that abides with us, teaches us about life, about you, and about our needs and wants. Father, no matter what we're going through, teach us to be content. Because of the power that you have that was exhibited through Christ and we experience through the presence of the Holy Spirit, may we leave this place understanding in a greater way how to be more content. In Jesus' name I pray. Your head bowed.
Thank you for joining us once again for the podcast. Remember that you can visit us on the web at www.tbcsullivan.com. And if you'd like to email us, you can email us at tbc@tbcsullivan.com.